But nobody had washed Jesus' feet. Look what it says here. So the Pharisee, right, when he invited him, saw this woman crying and tending to Jesus' feet. He said to himself, if this Raymond was a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who was touching him, for she's a sinner. So Jesus, answering, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Right? So what? Did he speak to himself? What was that like? Did he mumble under his breath in a way that Jesus heard? Right? Anybody here mutter under their breath when things aren't right? You know, you're alone in the shed, right? No. No. All the teenagers in the room are like this. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, they're like, no eye contact. Right? Okay. So was there body language? Was it like, you know? And by the way, I see when I preach up here, I can see all of you. It's nothing but body language. I can tell when everybody clocks out, but it doesn't matter. You don't take offense at it. When you sign up at this job, you're working for God. You're not working so that people are enthralled with your every word. But I pay attention to it, so try not to be too horribly boring Sunday by Sunday, right? But either way, Jesus knew, and he answered. Something about this guy's inner dialogue, whether it was audible, whether it was visible, or whether Jesus is an all-seeing prophet who sees things deep in the heart, right? And it could have been any of those, because the scripture doesn't really tell us. Either way, Jesus knew it. How often are our prayers like this, though? Thinly veiled resentment of others' situation. Well, I mean, really, I mean, if I had it that easy, I could do well too. I mean, really, look what, why are they there like that? You know? I don't think it's at all appropriate for them to. Look at the way he's dressed. You know, whatever it is, does that not go through all of our minds somewhere? You know, I look at Boris Johnson's haircut and I think, man, you know? I mean, his acumen as a leader has nothing to do with his haircut, but I think somehow it actually is an expression of it. I'm not sure what the connection is, but I think, dude, is somebody in your life helping you with a little, you know? You say the same thing about the other one across the ocean. Right? That thing's alive. That thing, I've actually seen it yawn in the middle of a speech, you know. But, okay. But how often are our prayers like the prayers of this guy, Simon? Just, you know, thinly veiled resentment. A frail muttering of our doubt or our disbelief. Do we have in our heart these things that are seeping out of us? And we don't say, Lord, I'm now praying to you. But we're just transparent to him. And the things that we say, have you ever noticed that God answered a prayer that didn't make it to your lips yet? But really, really, oh really, that was exactly what I had brewing inside there. Now, I used, I think, negative examples, didn't I? Thinly veiled resentment of others. Frail muttering doubt and disbelief. Now, the reason for speaking negatively about it is because Simon is saying if he knew what kind of woman was touching him. Right? But it works in a positive sense as well. Oh, Lord, would you please just help? I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to get them clothed? You know, whatever it is. God knows our heart, our desperate need, our blackest thoughts, you know. Just you know, like when the bottom of your skillet gets scorched by the fire when it's too orange. And there's that soot on the side of it, you know? That blackness of soul, of just, oh, I let it burn high and hard, and now I'm sooty with it. God knows. And he knows what's up with this guy, Simon. And what did he say? He said, Simon, I have something to say to you. And Simon answered, say it, teacher. Now, I think Simon figures Jesus doesn't have him busted. I think Simon's like, that woman and Jesus, what are they doing? My goodness, right here in my house. What is up with that woman? What is she doing to his feet over there, right? Simon, I have something to say. Yes, Lord, go on, say it. That is my game face, Lord. That's the way that I read that. And Jesus tells this parable, doesn't he? In verse 41, it says, a certain moneylender had two debtors, and one owed 500 denarii, and the other owed 50. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? And Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Now, prophets all through the Bible do this, don't they? Nathan came to David and said, a man stole his neighbor's sheep, the only sheep that he had, even though the man had tons of sheep. And David said, that's crazy. That's just wrong. God has a habit of telling allegorical stories that help people objectify the concept and say, well, clearly it's easy to judge. And then say, right, so let's apply this to you now. And Jesus did the same thing. Turning toward the woman in verse 44, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, as the custom of the day, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. That stops the story that Jesus is telling. Now, everybody in this room ought to know by now that her sins aren't forgiven because she did something. It's the other way around. He says, you could tell how much she's forgiven for, because look at the love coming out of her and the appreciation and the broken heart. She gets it. She knows what's going on with her. She perceives that hell awaits, but she's been diverted from it. And the overflow of gratefulness is obvious. But he who's forgiven little, he who doesn't figure there's too much going on with them, but the one who figures, I'm pretty good. Well, they're not coming to me. They're not coming to me. They're not humble before me. They don't worship like this forgiven person. You get what you settle for. You pour out as much as you feel you're indebted to. You express as much as there is poured into you for your lack, you have to give out generously. But if you're fine and you're just a shallow puddle, you only make that much of a splash. But this deep water of this woman, it just is overflowing. Do you see that there in the story?